Kev, so we're here at Las Palapas. Yeah. Just finished breakfast. Had some tacos, some homemade tortillas.
That's right. Yeah.
And now we're ready to record a little bit and talk about the relational realm.
Sure.
So why don't you just kind of, in a broad, I guess, context, unpack that for the listeners, kind of what the relational web is, just, and then we'll talk about, you know, some of the more, the finer details. So I guess tell the listeners what the relational web is.
Sure. It's just a way, really, that we do life together in the sense of live, you know, live life together as a community. And I think that it's difficult to try to do that, obviously, one day in the week, 1 hour on Sunday mornings, you know what I'm saying? From like 10 to 11 or whatever your service time is.
Right.
It's difficult to do that and to create community. So what we're doing is a relational web is really just a life group. It's like maybe more like a home team. I mean, okay. You know what those are?
Sure.
It's like where people meet once during the week on an evening or something like that, have dinner together, something like that. But really, in this sense, it takes that element out where they just do life together and it could be at any time during the week. So, yeah.
Okay, so it's basically just hanging out with people, I guess.
That's exactly what that is.
Okay, now you mentioned home teams. I know for some of the people that are listening, maybe they don't know what a home team is. So let's say a church, you know, churches get, you know, they're just brand new church and they want to facilitate relationships. And especially in large churches, it's important because you kind of lose the small church element.
Sure.
Right? It doesn't feel like you're
personal
small,
relationships.
Right, small community church. So you start home teams and people congregate at a home, let's say one night a week, and they have fellowship, maybe a Bible study.
Yep.
You know, I know that one of the other, you know, reasons they have home teams is because people feel like it's easier to invite a visitor, a non-believer, a non-Christian, to a home than it is to invite them to church.
Right.
And so you said they're different from home teams. What would you say are some of the big differences from a home team?
Well, I would say that one is the unstructuredness of it. Like, it doesn't have to be at a certain time during the week. You know, it doesn't have to be a Thursday night at 7 o'clock. And, you know, and unfortunately, sometimes I think the church asks, not always, but sometimes asks them to choose between maybe their kid's soccer game, you know, and the home team. Well, they're both good things. I mean, not one of them's bad.
But as a parent, you're going to go to the soccer game.
Right. Yeah. If my kid's playing soccer, I'm going to go see him, watch him play soccer. So I think it just eliminates those times, right? So that you can live life during the week because you're naturally living life with your coworkers, with your friends, with the people that you hang out with in your environment that you go to. And it's just really doing life with them right then and there. It's like almost, it's interactive throughout the whole entire week versus, hey, we're going to split, you know, our religion, our spirituality portion one day a week and 1 hour. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of just doing another service. But, it, you know what I'm saying, it's during the week. So this is kind of doing a whole lifestyle. So
right. And I know one of the things about, you know, home teams is that you're kind of, it's the night to hang out with your church friends.
Right.
You know, versus, you know, if the relational web is deals more with relationships that already exist, like natural relationships. Those relationships could be with people at church.
Right.
But they could also be with people you play basketball with on the weekends or, you know, your coworkers, you know, family members. I mean, a lot of people can be involved in relational web and it's not just your church friends or whatever. How does that element of it, you know, allow you to minister to people, invite people to church or tell people about Christ?
Well, I think it's interesting because you'll see it happen more naturally. You know, because you have permission to speak into someone's life, because you've already, you're hanging out. You know, you're talking about things that you already talk about. You're, if you're a sports fan, well, you're going to talk about sports. You're going to say, hey, this relates to this, you know, within the church. Or this, you can have more, there's a trust. You know, I think sometimes with the advertising and the way things are right now, and but people don't, I mean, 20 years ago, people had their kids, you know, out on a bicycle. You know, it was no big deal out in the neighborhood. Now, that doesn't happen because people just don't trust. There's a lack of trust, and I think when you build naturally those relationships, there's going to be an element of trust, and those conversations will already come up. You know what I'm saying? They're going to be forced.
Yeah.
You're not beating them on the head with a Bible or something like that.
Right. I've got a friend that's an unbeliever, and we have lunch a couple of times in a week, and he's probably one of my good, good friends, and he is not a Christ follower.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm kind of slowly working my way up to inviting him to church. I've invited him once on Easter, and he was going to be out of town. But as we've become better friends, I feel like if I invited him now, he would almost feel like a good kind of obligation to come.
Sure.
You know, a healthy obligation that my buddy is inviting me to this thing that he really believes in, he's a strong part of, and he wants me to come and just check it out. You know, and I feel like because we're close friends, he's going to come.
Right.
Explain how that element of the relational web works better when it comes to inviting people to church than I guess the older model where you go and knock on somebody's door and say, hey, I'm from Imagine Fellowship. I'd like to invite you to our church.
No, totally. And I've found that, you know, there's been people that I have been like trying to develop a relationship with, and as I continue to do that, first of all, they didn't even know I was a pastor. Second of all, as time moved on, they actually invited themselves.
Yeah, if you don't know Kevin, you would never know he was a pastor.
I guess it's a good thing.
Yeah, it could be good or bad.
But. Yeah. No, but I think that it's interesting to watch as you develop a relationship. They want to know what you're doing in your life, and they're actually kind of almost inviting themselves. Like, I had a dude that was like, hey, well, when do you guys meet? Where is it at? And where, you know, when can I come? I was like, well, you can come anytime you want. You know, we do this every week, you know? And so I think the weekend supports the relational web because, you know, it's kind of a web where we catch people on the weekend. And then they live their life throughout the week. So it's just, and they support one another.
Yeah. Okay, so my analytical mind always goes to, you know, the drawbacks or the dangers or, you know, how to handle maybe some hurdles. We want people in the relational webs to obviously, I mean, their whole conversations don't have to revolve around church.
Sure.
But we want a church element to kind of be injected or infused into that relationship.
Sure.
How can church folks, how can people who are listening to this or part of a church or part of Imagine Fellowship,
sure,
say,
have a relationship with Christ.
Right, I already have a relational web with people within my coworkers. How do I talk to them about what's happening in my life? Let's kind of talk about that, how the relational web works to facilitate what's happening in the church, to facilitate the message, to facilitate, you know,
sure, like a
spiritual kind of relationships.
I see you're saying kind of like a systemized is what you're saying.
Right, well, here, I know some people who are listening to this podcast are probably familiar with Twitter.
Sure.
We've been talking, and it's probably for another podcast. You know, we won't go deep into Twitter, but this week I saw a Twitter message asking, kind of broadcasting, does anybody go to a home Bible study?
Sure.
And obviously it seemed like, you know, that person was saying, I want to, you know, but obviously we're moving away from home teams. So
right.
Talk about how somebody can infuse church stuff into their relational web, where instead of talking about, you know, sports, they're now talking about
right.
Christ.
Well, I think there should be a conversation shift within, and I think it's a purposeful one. You know, it's not one that just happens naturally, because I think it's funny. There are things that happen naturally, and they're easy, and there are
right.
things that don't happen naturally but need to happen. Does
right.
that make sense? Sometimes
yes.
it's tough to do.
Yeah, so it might not be comfortable to say,
but
can I pray with you?
But it's the right thing.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But say, hey, at some point you get to that level. The problem is, I think in the past, if we tried to say, let's pray with you right now, right mm-hmm. in the middle of this, you know, of this place we're eating.
Right.
And you don't even
lay hands on you.
And you don't even know me.
Let's get on our knees.
Right. It just doesn't work, especially
right.
with people that don't know Christ. And I guess it's just been fresh in my mind, you know, I mean, that you got to build a relationship first. Once
yeah.
you build that relationship, those questions and those things come up. They naturally come up. And then at the same time, there needs to be a catalyst that's there sitting there and say, hey, well, I do this, and kind of put it on yourself instead of saying, well, this is what you need to do. You need to change your life. You need to pray. You need to do this. When they've maybe never even prayed before, you know,
mm-hmm.
in our sense, we need to say, look, well, what I do when I get in something like that, and you can take it or leave it. You know, just this is my advice. You know, I pray, or, you know, we could take a look. Hey, I found this in scripture, and pull it out of my mom and say, hey, this is where it is right here. You know, and all of a sudden you're starting to read scripture with that person.
Yeah.
And they're like, they don't know that. You're just like,
right.
Oh, you're just showing them something.
Yeah.
You know, so
you mentioned a catalyst, and we're going to get into that in just a minute. But I want to kind of stay here and kind of continue to unpack this, because I know even me, for those of you who don't know me, I'm a former youth pastor. Went to Bible school. I've been in ministry, praise and worship leader. And as you know, when Kevin first started talking to me about the relational web and kind of infusing, a spiritual element to your relationships, even I had a hard time doing that. You know, I kind of felt, you know, anxious, nervous, you know, you kind of trying to figure out how you're going to tell your friends, even your Christian friends, hey, I want to pray with you. And I know, you know, for at the beginning stages, it was just a text message to a buddy saying, hey, Sarah and I are praying for you and your wife. And it's grown into, you know, reading scripture with friends and
right.
praying with friends and things like that. And so I want to continue to talk about, you know, that. So let's say somebody from our church or any other church is right now saying, give me some practical ways,
right.
you know, that I can do it. I know we've talked about this, that, you know, maybe it's just, you know, before you watch the movie saying, hey, you know, could we pray with you guys for just a couple of minutes? It doesn't even have to be a long
right.
time.
Right. That's a key element right there too.
Right. So just talk about some other ways that people can just practically say, you know, I know you mentioned just right now, can I read the scripture? What are some other ways they could share maybe what's happening in church or the, sure. you know, the message,
it,
things
you know,
like that?
It probably depends upon what, who you're talking to. You know sure. what I'm saying? If you're talking to a person who has a relationship with Christ, you know, one of the things I always say to them is, hey, what's God been teaching you lately?
Right.
Because it's an open-ended question, which probably the first thing on their heart is going to come out.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, no matter whatever there's on their heart, boom, that's going
to
come first.
Yeah, and I know sometimes maybe to break the ice, it's easier to say, here's what God's been teaching me.
Right.
You know, so they don't feel like maybe they're going first.
Sure,
or you,
sure.
you tell them, you know, right. it's a way to let them know.
Right. If you have a struggle, say maybe say your struggle first. Say, hey, is there anything that, you know, you need help with or prayer with or start, you know, do you struggle with? And I think, so I think there's that element of that. If you're talking with a person with a relationship with Christ, there's also an element if they don't have a relationship with Christ, I think if they're attending this service, the relationship with this service can springboard, you know, some of those conversations during the week. You know, and that's part of what the service does. It gives you a conversation. Hey, man, I really agreed or disagreed with that point during the service. You know,
right.
and for, you know, and we think so much that everyone's going to agree with everything we say on a service. No, that's not necessarily true. You know, especially people that don't believe in Christ are like, I don't believe that. Okay, cool. Well, why? And then the conversation started. You know, it doesn't mean that at the end of the conversation you have to have that person converted. At the end of the conversation, they have to be wrong. You have to be right. It's the conversation that allows that change yeah. process to happen.
And you said it was uncomfortable. It really is sometimes. You
yeah.
know, like trying to get up, gear up the courage
right.
to talk about spiritual issues, whether it's with a believer or it's probably harder with an unbeliever. And if I think if you're out there and you're wondering, you know, how can I do it? I think, and if you're nervous about it, start off with an email
right.
or a text message, just a short, you know,
right.
message. Hey, this morning when I was praying, I prayed for you.
Right.
You know, things like that.
Right.
Let people know, hey, my friend goes to church, they're a believer, they pray,
right.
you know,
right.
And eventually, you know, they'll ask those questions, you know, like, you know, what church do you go to? You know,
right.
When you pray, how do you pray? You know,
right.
how do you, that's my phone.
Yeah.
It's my wife telling me that she loves me, I appreciate her. Okay, so let's talk about kind of like logistics. Wise. You said they don't meet regularly, so they could go out to dinner, or they could go to a movie.
Yeah, well, they meet regularly, but it's that they naturally meet regularly. You're going to meet with these people anyway. You, like, if you're at work and your buddies are sitting next to you, well, you're already meeting with them.
Right. Okay, so can how big is a relational? Can it be 40 people, 60 people, 100 people?
Well, we think, I mean, and I've thought about this a lot even since we developed the curriculum,
sure.
that, you know, we've talked about three, but, you know, it's so funny. I kind of, I guess I feel like you can impact a lot of people. You know, and there's different, but you can only have so many relationships that you have intimate relationships, you know what I'm saying, where they know what you're struggling with and that you even feel comfortable trusting that person with those that type of information. Because I think that's where, you know, we really get hodged down, you know, that, hey, I couldn't share this with somebody in my relationship because they wouldn't understand me or they, you know, I couldn't share this. And so I think when you have, and this is based upon Jesus, where he had James, Peter, and John, where he
right.
really shared their life with
but he still
them.
Had the disciples.
But he still had disciples.
Yeah.
So there's a, you can see the influence is different within the realm of the people that he's around. So
right.
Some guys are real close with him. Some guys are not as close. And then there's the crowds. There were just crowds that just kind of hung out and they knew about Jesus, you know what I'm saying? But at the same time, they didn't fully buy in or they didn't know exactly what he was about, you know, and he did that for obvious reasons because, you know, they would have persecuted him even more.
Right.
You know, but I think that it's very, very cool how Jesus gives that example. Hey, look, there's some trusted relationships with my three. He had three.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's a pretty good model.
Okay, so going back to like the web catalyst, we're talking about Jesus, who was probably the catalyst
yes.
of catalysts,
right.
right?
Right.
And so he probably had, I would imagine he could influence the 12 and three and the crowd
yes.
the exact same way.
Yeah.
And I would imagine you also, you know, you
yeah.
have a lot of influence on a lot of people, but you have people who you're closer with, you
right.
know, on a more intimate level.
Right.
Let's talk about the web catalyst, the person who is kind of emerging as someone who builds relationships, people are attracted to,
sure.
has been able to kind of influence others. What does this person look like? You know, who are they? What do they do? What are their, some of their characteristics? That way the people listening can know, you know, whether they're a web catalyst, whether they fit in that role, and kind of some of their responsibilities.
Sure. I think that, first of all, it's a heart commitment. You know, I know we have a curriculum, and you sign the curriculum at the back of the book and say,
right.
hey, look, I'm dedicated to doing this. And at the end of the day, though, it's whether or not it resides in your heart, you know. And I think that it's a conscientious self-awareness as you go throughout your day that you have a purpose and that You know, the 9-to-5 job, where it, you might enjoy your job, you might not enjoy your job, but you have a higher purpose to, for people. You know, right. And saying that, hey, look, yeah, this job might be boring, but these people that I'm working around with right now, they need my help, whether mm-hmm. they know it or not. You know what I'm saying? And that's what I'm here for, to help the people around me.
Yeah.
And no matter where you're at, if you're at the gym, if you're at Starbucks, you know, it could be something very small, you know. And actually, I want to throw the question back on you.
Okay.
Yeah, because I'm very curious to see your perspective.
Well, I know that in leadership, you notice people who you feel like are people, yes. maybe something like that. But you also notice people who are not. I got a buddy of mine at school, and if you didn't know him, you'd think he was angry at the world all the time, you know, but he's just not a guy that smiles.
Right.
And I think, you know, that's not the guy that you want out there, you know, meeting and greeting and getting their hands on people and saying, hey, you know, welcome to our church.
Right.
I think for the web catalyst, I think that person kind of looks like a person who likes people, you know,
right.
first of all, and,
right.
and wants to encourage, influence others.
Right.
I think those things come naturally. And I think the web leader or a web catalyst, I think they're also willing to learn how to do that.
Right.
So my buddy at school, if he were catalyst, I think he'd be open to the idea of, okay, I need to smile a little bit more, learn how to develop relationships better.
Right.
I think the difference between maybe the catalyst and somebody who's not a catalyst is maybe the courage to kind of talk about spiritual issues. And I think a lot of these things are learned. It doesn't have to be a natural gifting. Anybody can do these things.
Yeah.
You know, anybody
yeah.
can talk about God. It can talk about church.
And I think that's where it's a false reality that you have to be a leader. You know what I'm saying? Oh, if
right.
I'm not a leader, I can't do this. But we're saying you're already doing these things. You're
sure.
already influencing the people around you. You might just need to change some of the things that you do. And there's tools that you can use.
Right.
You know, we have some of those on the curriculum that you can, just simple conversation starters or simple things that you can do to help engage some of these conversations.
So. Yeah, you know, something else I've seen is that everybody is the center of a web somewhere.
Somewhere, exactly.
Yeah, you know, and I know I've been in relationships where I'm not the center.
Right.
Other people, I gravitate towards somebody else.
Right.
And somebody else is the center. But
right.
remove me out of that context and place me in another group
somebody
of friends.
Somebody else is the
and
center.
And I'm the center.
Right.
Or
right.
somebody
or
else
somebody
is
else
the center.
Is the center. Right. right, right.
And so somebody might not feel like they're the center in their church
sure.
web. But it put them in their work environment
and
on the softball team.
And they're the bomb.
Yeah, they're
yeah.
the life of the party. Everybody
right.
wants to be. And so I'm sure there's going to be people who in some aspects are not, in some webs are not the catalyst.
Sure.
And in others are.
Right.
You know, so I think we've described something that's really fluid, a really fluid concept, you know, that doesn't have a lot of hard, fast rules to
right.
where this is the way, this is how, you have to have three, you can't have four.
Right.
Well, that's not, you know,
that's
you might
true.
Have four.
You might have four.
Or you might have two.
You might have two.
Right.
No,
so
totally.
It's kind of a fluid idea of,
right.
you know, whatever works best
right.
to maintain healthy
it's,
relationships.
And that's what I like about the whole thing. It's very decentralized. It is that you can't manage, you can only manage so much. You know, you're trying to live your life. You try to, you know, have kids, you know, you're trying to do the curricular activities with them. You know, you're trying to do school on the side. You're trying to, you know, have a career.
Right.
You know, if you add all that up, I mean, it's a lot. It's a lot of stuff. So trying to keep things as simple as possible is the way to go.
Okay. Oh, let's throw out just three or four ideas right now that people could do today to kind of help facilitate relationships around them.
Sure.
So I would say one of the first things is just asking somebody, hey, how's your day going? Is everything okay? And I would say probably, how's your day going isn't the best way, because people can say good or bad or whatever.
Sure.
But, you know, maybe something a little bit more open-ended, you know,
right.
like, what's the best thing happening today? What's, you know, how's your family?
Right.
How's
what's your favorite
yeah,
car?
What's your favorite car?
I mean,
yeah.
just something random, too. That
conversation
like,
starters. I'll have some more water.
I'm good. Thanks. Yeah,
it's always funny when they come right in the middle. I think we need to have a big sign that says recording.
Yeah, yeah, at one of our mini studios.
Yeah.
So, I think another one is definitely that you could just do something for them. It's simple. You know, bring some brownies into work this is an amazing one. Like, your next door neighbor's lawn looks horrible. You get your lawnmower out and you cut the grass.
Sure.
And you don't have to tell them who did it.
Yeah.
Because they're gonna come looking for the person who cut my grass in the front yard.
Right.
They're gonna freak them out.
Yeah.
And something simple as that, and they're gonna say the one question they're gonna want to know is why. Why did they do that? You know what I'm saying? And you got an answer for them. You know what I'm saying? Maybe you don't have to say it right off the, you know, right off the bat, so they're not like, oh, okay, this person's crazy. Yeah. You know, but you can just literally say, hey, you know, it's just something I want to do for you, and I like doing it for you.
Yeah.
And they're like, wow. Then they're associating with you, you know, hey, this person's cool.
Yeah. One of the other tips I think people should do is look for people who they have common ground with.
Yes.
You know, if there is Mr. Bodybuilder in your office and he's just a big, huge, buff guy and you have never lifted a weight in your life,
right,
that's probably not the guy that you're going to have just a natural affinity with, right?
Right.
You know, like he's going to want to go, you know, pump some iron and you're going to be lost in the gym, right? So
yeah.
So look for people who you have common ground with. If you know somebody likes to read and you like to read as well, or somebody else has pets and you have pets and you want, you know, take your dogs to a dog park or something,
that's,
you know,
huge.
Like, look for somebody that has common ground with you.
Right.
I know that's one of the areas, because it's easier to develop relationships with people who like the same stuff,
right,
that you like.
And I think the last one is to definitely step out and meet new people.
Take
a chance, because you never know who is going to have, you're going to have that affinity with, you know, and if you never take that chance, you're going to be like, well, there is nobody. I'm sorry, I just don't get along with anybody. Well, that's not true. That's for sure not true. You know, it's been interesting just to see as you go on in life, that you meet someone and you'd never know that they liked, you know,
right,
roller skating. You're like,
right,
well, I like roller skating too. Not really. Just saying.
Yeah. he likes to roller skate backwards with Shayna.
Right. Exactly. I'm what do they call the roller derbies?
Yeah.
I'm a big roller derby guy. So, no, but I think that you never know who you get along with.
Right. Well, thank you.
I think that's huge.
Yeah. Okay, so Kev, we're right about to sign off.
Yeah.
Tell people where they can find us if they'd like to know more information about Imagine Fellowship or would like to attend one of our services.
Sure, yeah. We're online at imaginefellowship.org. We have these podcasts are going to go under media. And there's one up already about Imagine Interactive. There's a blog you can check us out on. We have up around under the website also. And we meet every Sunday at 10 o'clock
at the
Palladium.
Yeah, and if you are a Twitter-aholic,
yes,
like the rest of us,
I
think you can type follow Imagine Fellowship, Imagine Church.
Imagine Church.
Follow Imagine Church, and you can text that to 40404.
Right,
and 40404, and they'll instantly get text messages from you. Just kind of letting them know how your day's going and what's happening.
Yeah.
So catch us on the web, catch us at Twitter, and catch us at the Palladium.
Yeah. Take care.
Till next time.
Later.